You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Reverend Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
In the book of Ephesians, if you don't mind, if you'll turn to the epistle of Ephesians, and you would do well to read the first two chapters and for your shouting glory, amen. And I declare if you do read the first two chapters, you will be shouting. But it's in the second chapter and beginning at verse 8. That you'll find these words, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them." For a few moments, I want to talk about God's workmanship. God's workmanship. This epistle of the Ephesians, this is one of the four epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote while he was imprisoned in Rome. Along with Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, this was what's called a circular letter, a doctrinal treatise in the form of a letter that was circulated through the churches of Asia Minor. The great theme of this letter is God's eternal purpose to establish and complete his body, the Church of Jesus Christ. To develop this theme, Paul discusses several things like predestination and Christ's headship over the body, the church as a building and temple of God, the mystery of Christ, the spiritual gifts of believers, and the church as the bride of Christ. The most important thing for you to understand from Ephesians is that according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And that from Ephesians 1 and 4. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. In other words, God knew you before you knew him. He knew you before your mother and father knew each other. Before the world was formed, before the foundation of the world was anchored, God knew you to be in Christ Jesus. So you're not an accident. I don't care when you were conceived, how you were conceived, where you were conceived. You're no accident. And the very fact that you were born is not accidental, but the fact that you were born again is also not accidental. God knew you to be in Christ. With his foreknowledge, he saw you, amen, before you could see yourself. He saw you before the foundation of the world to be in his Son. And having made known this mystery of his will to us, the moment that you heard of salvation, the moment you embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the moment you repented of your sins, and I hope you did that, amen. I've run across people all the time who just claim to be Christian without having repented of their sin, without discovering that they were lost. They claimed that they were found. I was talking to a woman in the office who claimed to be a Christian one time, and I asked her, how did she know she was a Christian? Because I pray and I read the Bible. And I said, that makes you a Christian because you pray and you read the Bible? I said, I don't think that's enough. Well, I occasionally go to church. I said, I occasionally go to the hospital, but I ain't no doctor, amen. And if I read a medical journal, and that ain't gonna make me no doctor either. There's some telltale sign that makes you a Christian, that you've been born again, when you realize that you were lost and a sinner and you repented of your sins and you personally asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and save you. only then can you become a believer. Only then can you be saved. And the Bible says here in Ephesians 1:13, after that ye believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. That means that you are a finished transaction, that you are a possession of God, and that you are secure in Him. You were sealed. The Holy Ghost has sealed you and has given you the earnest of His Spirit. In other words, He has made the down payment on your life. Amen. And you will receive eternal life. Based upon that, it's a guarantee of security of your salvation because you've been sealed. I tell you, this is shouting news, brothers and sisters, to know this. Amen. And all this time, you thought you were keeping yourself. No, God is keeping you. Amen. Ephesians 2:10 says that, well, we are God's masterpiece. That's what it means when it says workmanship. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good thing that God has already planned for us to do long ago. We are God's workmanship. We're God's handiwork. We are a work of art. You don't know who you are. And you don't know whose you are until you read the Bible to understand and discover that you are this new creation produced by the power of God. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, we were created to do the work of God, but we were created to do the good works. We are His workmanship. Amen. He has saved us that we might show forth the virtues of Himself. Who called us from darkness into His marvelous light. For though we are not saved for our good work or by our good works, we are saved that we may perform good works to the glory of God and to benefit mankind. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. We are made a new creation by the Creator in Jesus Christ. A new creation, new character, a new conduct. We're new. And brothers and sisters, I know that you know this. We love new things. From our childhood, we have always loved new things. There's appreciation and excitement about most things that are new. There are those that, there are some who love old things. They like antiques and relics and the process of restoration of things. But for the most part, we like new stuff. Little kids like new toys, new clothes, making new friends, even going to new schools. We like new job, new car, new houses, new love interests. Amen. New marriages, new husband, new wife, new babies. We like all this new stuff. But all new things have a tendency to become old with time. We either discard old things or put them away or lose interest in them. But this new life in Christ Jesus must never become old, brothers and sisters. We must never lose the excitement of this love affair with Jesus Christ. That's why it is to be renewed day by day. Come on, let me throw some word on this. 2 Corinthians 4:16, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Ephesians 4:22, that she put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on the new man, which after God's created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed, there that word is again, renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And 12, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewed. A lot of things in this life we renew. I renew our driver's license. We renew several things. And some of you have renewed your marriage, and you don't need to renew your marriage. Amen. You just need to keep the vows you first made. Amen. People all the time come to me, Pastor, I want to renew my vows. Are you keeping the ones you kept? Did you mess them up? Amen. Renew them, it ain't going to do no good if you ain't going to keep them. I found that there's a twofold process here. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we're washed twice. When we're sinner, we're washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we become Christian, we begin to be washed by his word. That's why I encourage you always to read the word of God, because you need a cleansing of God's word. I remind you of the young man who came to his pastor, and he said, Pastor, he said, I'm having a hard time retaining the word of God. I read and I read and I read, but I don't seem to keep it. And he said, good, come on with me down to the kitchen. And he went down to the church's kitchen, and he reached in the drawer, and there was a sieve, you know, a sifter. And he took the sieve, and he turned the water on the faucet, and he put the sieve upon the faucet. And he held it for quite a while, and he said, do you get it? And the young man said, no. He says, the water is washing the sieve, but it's not retaining anything. Brothers and sisters, it don't care if you read the word, you may not retain it, but at least it'll wash you. It'll keep you clean. At least you have a clean sieve. Of Psalms 119:9, how shall a young man cleanse his way? How can he stay pure? The Bible said, by obeying the word of God, by obeying the word of God, by reading the word of God and doing the word of God, you're being washed on a daily basis. Oh man, you need to wash. Amen, amen. And you got to wash yourself. You're washed by the blood, but now you continue to wash yourself by the word of God, not just by reading it, but by doing it. Good marks out for each of its purpose. Beforehand, the particular good works that we do, and a lot of times people think they're okay with God because they do good works. And see, good works follow us. We don't follow the good works. Amen. Because we have already accepted Christ, God has pre-programmed us to do his good works according to his will. And we should be able to walk in them. In other words, we're not saved by the works, do not justify. None of us are justified by this, but we're saved by grace through faith, created unto good works with the design that we should be fruitful in them. Wherever God, by his grace, implants good principles, they're intended to be for good works, which God hath before ordained, that is decreed and appointed. The words may be read to which God hath before prepared for us, that is the blessing that we shall receive as we are assisted by the Holy Spirit by producing such a change in us that we might indeed produce these good works. We're saved by grace. By grace. By grace. We're bought by the blood of Jesus. Purchased. Amen. We are his workmanship. He gave himself for us. Amen. We are a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's what it says in Titus 13:14. The reason is that salvation is God's workmanship. The word workmanship, indeed, as I said, means that we are a work of art or a masterpiece. And you should know who you are and who you belong to, and who you are. You're a masterpiece. And I'm bothered sometimes when I find people of low self-esteem. You're a masterpiece. God don't make junk. You are a masterpiece. Amen. Don't you know who you are? But don't let you be concerned so much with who you are to make you big-headed, self-righteous, high-minded. Don't be overconfident in that, and yet we don't want you to be suffer from low self-esteem, low self-worth. There's a balance that we should have in believing in Christ Jesus. There's a balance that's because we're a new creation and because we have been made to produce good works by God, we should walk like it. We should talk like it. We should even dress like it. We should live like it. We should love like it, because we are indeed creatures of Christ. We're created in this new life. And therefore, we don't have time for mood swings. We don't have time to throw pity parties. Even when I'm going through trials and tribulations, I do understand as a child of God, as a masterpiece of God's workmanship, He's building character in my life through the things that I go through. I don't mind because I still am a product of God, of His good works. No, I don't suffer from low self-esteem, but I can't get a big head neither because I have this spiritual balance. I'm not bullied by the devil because I know who has my back. I know that God comforts me in His word, and God has promised me certain things, and God cannot go back on His promise because I am indeed His workmanship. I am His creation, and I'm renewing my mind. I'm renewing myself daily as I read the Word of God, and reading the Word of God makes me stronger against my own urges and my own physical weaknesses, my own spiritual weaknesses. I'm made stronger by the reading and by the doing of God's Word. The Word of God challenges me to live better, to be better, to do better. It says in 1 Peter 1:18, "For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." It didn't cost any money to purchase your life. But it says in verse 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, He bought you." He purchased you with His own precious blood. He paid your sin debt. See, you got to know this. You got to know. That's why I tell you all the time that you belong to Christ and you belong to Him twice. Let me explain. I've told this story many times about this little boy who loved going down by the wharf. He lived in Maine, and he would go down by the wharf, and he loved watching the sailboats as they came in and came out. And he decided one day that he would build him a sailboat, and he got some wood, and he began to carve. And under his grandfather's tutorage, he began to build him a sailboat. And oh, what a nice little sailboat it was. And his mother had took one of the pillowcases and made a sail for his sailboat. He even painted it and put a name on the sailboat. And he would go down by the wharf, and he would get in the water, and he would play with his sailboat. Loved playing with his sailboat. But one day, a gust of wind came and caught hold to that sail and took his sailboat out to sea, and he watched it as it disappeared over the horizon. But every day after school, he would come looking for his sailboat down there by the wharf to see if his boat would come back to him after all he had made this boat. He had named his boat. He had purposed his boat for sailing, but he wanted his boat to come back to him. Every day he would go down there in disappointment, for he never saw his boat come back. But one day, as he was passing a resale shop on his way home from school, he saw his boat in the window with a price tag on it. He ran inside and told the person inside, he said, "This is my boat. I made this boat. I even got my name on it." And the man behind the cash register said, "No, this is my boat. It came in here and I bought it, and if you want it, it will cost you such and such amount of money." Little boy ran home and broke open his piggy bank and got everything. He dug within the couch and got any money he found out, the seat of the couch, under the cushion. He went everywhere to get money. He took all that he had, and he went back to that little resale shop and said, "Here it is. This is all that I have." And the man said, "Well, that'll be enough." And he took his sailboat, and as he was walking out the store on his way home, he said, "Little boat, you're mine twice. First because I made you, and then because I bought you." Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, you belong to Jesus Christ twice. First because He made you in His own image, and then He bought you by the blood of Jesus. You are somebody. You are the workmanship of Jesus Christ, because He died for you to pay the sin price for you. He bought you, I tell you. He bought you with His precious blood. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross, He had you in mind. Before the foundation of the world, God had you in mind. Jesus died upon that cross, paid your sin debt in full. He died shedding His precious blood. They took Him down and put Him in a borrowed tomb. He was there Friday and all day Saturday. But the record says it was early Sunday morning. He got up from that grave with all power of heaven and earth. He said, "I'm glad I belong to Him. I'm glad that He bought me. I'm glad that He made me, but I'm more glad that He bought me back and paid for me by the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus rose that third day. That's why I don't worry about dying, because one day I'm going to get up. Amen. I ain't getting up down here, but I'm going to get up there. Amen. There will be a great getting up morning. Fare you well. Fare you well. I'm in Christ. I'm his workmanship, created unto good works, to do what the Lord would have me to do. God bless you. Stand to your feet. The door to the church is now open.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.